The African American line, hymn, and shape note traditions. From National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution, I'm Bernice Johnson Regan, and this is Wade in the Water. In this program, we're celebrating the coming together of the African and European cultures within the Black church experience. In the line hymn and the shape note singing traditions, both of these music genres begin in European Protestant churches. We will explore the ways in which African American Christians embraced and adapted this repertoire for our own worship services. We begin with the Protestant hymn, a contemporary arrangement by Washington, D.C.-based ensemble, the Richard Smallwood Singers, performing hymn writer Isaac Watts' I Love the Lord, He Heard My Cry.
Oh,
Bethlehem was composed by Isaac Watts during the 18th century. Contemporary gospel composer Richard Smallwood creates a fresh setting for it. But within the African American church, there's an older style for singing these same hymns. Some people call it country, rural, sometimes old-timey. And these terms do not name where the congregation is, but when people talk in this way, they are reaching or trying to name a more ancient sound. The same hymn text is sung, but the structure is different. It begins with the lining of the text of the words in a chant form, and then the congregation responds, raising the hymn into life. Deacon Ron Barrett, raising the Watts hymn, I Love the Lord, He Heard My Cry. The Wade in the Water production team recorded this performance in Chicago, Illinois at the First Church of Deliverance in October 1992. So although the tradition is old and country, it can still be found today among certain African-American congregations, mostly Baptists, alive and well in the city. I was always personally struck by the feel of the sound. The singing seemed to have a seeping capacity. It could move inside of you and pull at spaces you didn't even know you had. It felt like I could hear my great-great-great-grandparents singing in the sounds of these hymns. William Dargan is an ethnomusicologist who's researched this tradition, but he met these hymns first as a child in his home church.
The thing that drew me with the line hymn was that it was a swelling sound, was that it was a sound that had a fluidness about it that seemed to almost be tangible enough to reach out and touch.
The late Reverend C.J. Johnson was one of the few master hymn singers who successfully recorded and taught the hymns.
I know the Lord called me to preach, and I was already singing before I was called to preach. And I can't help it. I must sing, and I'm going to sing on until I die.
And Deacon William Reardon of the Southern Baptist Church is a master hymn and shape note singer.
Jeremiah says it's like fire shut up in the bones. And when it comes to you, if it comes to you that strong, if you hold your feet down, your hands will fly up. If you hold your hands down, your feet will fly up.
African Americans like both the process of lining and singing the text and the text themselves. There were certain hymn writers they were strongly attracted to. Isaac Watts was one. Charles Wesley was another. They could sing these songs over and over again, and it was as if a song that they loved, like I Love the Lord, never wore out its welcome. I think it's because somehow these Protestant hymn writers caught the energy of their resistance in their poems. You see, before these writers, most churches, and these are European churches, sang their biblical scripture for their music in their services. But the new, young, Protestant hymn writers had the audacity to rewrite the verses in the Bible, sometimes testifying to God and having conversation with God in the poem. The church had a problem with it, but African Americans loved it. Now, they loved the text, but they did not care very much for the tunes in the hymn books, and they created their own tunes. One of the songs you can hear in almost any congregation that does this tradition is a Charles Wesley hymn, A Charge to Keep Our Have. It was written in 1762, and we will listen to it as it's sung as a part of an afternoon service led by one of the deacons of the New Provisor Baptist Church of Worth County at the Mount Early Baptist Church in Southwest Georgia, September 1973. ethnomusicologist, William Dargan.
I would begin to hear these hymns, these droned out hymns like Father, I stretch my hand to thee in amazing grace, and a charge to keep I have, and must Jesus bear the cross alone, and that whole ilk of hymns that are known in African-American Methodist and Baptist churches. And these lined out hymns would come at me like a torrent of sound that I really didn't know what to do with. It was a power that had a rhythm, yet the rhythm was old and ancient, and somehow I didn't know what to do with it, but I was drawn to it.
I'm Warren Steele from the University of Mississippi. I teach music history, organ, harpsichord, ethnomusicology. There are a great many terms used for this tradition, the singing tradition, but none of them is really universal, and because many people who do it don't have a name for it. Deaconing was one old-fashioned term in New England. Lining out, or a lined hymn, a long meter hymn, a surge song, I've heard it called, or simply Dr. Watts singing. And this Dr. Watts singing is named after the Reverend Isaac Watts, the 18th century English poet who wrote a whole set of paraphrases of the Psalms into poetry.
We will listen to two examples of early American New England-style psalm singing. The first is Montague. The tune is by Timothy Swan, and the text is by Philip Doddridge. The second, the text is a paraphrase by Isaac Watts of Psalm 42, with the tune by William Billings. It's called Chesterfield. They're both performed by the Oregon State University Choir.
Ye sons of men, with joy record the various wonders of the Lord, and let his power and goodness sound through all the tribes of the world around. Let the high hand rest on
This whole practice of lining out, the lined hymn, was applied to the Book of Psalms in the Bible. Every psalm was translated or paraphrased in English poetry. So instead of, for example, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," they would say, "The Lord to me a shepherd is, want therefore shall not I. He in the fields of tender grass doth make me down to lie." And turning it into poetry would make it easier to remember.
Our next hymn is to all of us. Every person here in this vast audience this evening, you have a choice. No matter what field you're in, you have a choice.
Yes.
And you ought to keep it.
Yes.
This hymn talks about a charge to keep our hands.
Yes.
gave God to glorify, who gave his son, my soul to save, and fitted for the sky.
Now, Georgia minister, master hymn singer, and composer of his own songs in the traditional style, the late Reverend C.J. Johnson came to the Smithsonian Institution in 1989. He had a strong commitment to keeping the line hymn tradition alive. Listen as he, joined by members of his family, urged the Smithsonian audience to back him in raising the hymn, A Charge to Keep I Have.
And then you ought to sing for him.
Find their voices by explaining to them that hymn singing, you use vowels and not depend upon notes. And in those vowels, I would have them to understand that they have a diaphragm in here that you get a lot of air, and in order to hold your voice and to tune your voice. And in doing so, I would first have them to say, ah. And then I would have them to say, ah, such as, ah. Ah. And then they would see that they can hold enough wind here to carry out the words and to cut the words up like Jesus. If we were going to sing in the hymn, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then they would, when they would get to these phrases and looking at the words, then they would be able to hold it.
I grew up in the Southwest Georgia tradition. And one of the first tunes I could sing in this tradition was, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I taught the song to Sweet Honey in the Rock.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Churches in Southwest Georgia and churches throughout the South, and any place I found this tradition that used this tune for What a Friend We Have in Jesus, used the same tune for the 1745 hymn composed by William Williams, Guide Me, O Thy Great Jehovah.
Guide me, O Thy
This tune performed as a part of African American congregational singing. It is not the tune that one finds in the hymn book, which is usually a tune by John Hughes. This is the one used by the Columbia Baptist Church Chancel Choir of Falls Church, Virginia, in their performance of Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. The Columbia Baptist Church Chancel Choir also goes to the hymn book for their performance of the Horatius Bonar hymn, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say, Come Unto Me and Rest. These are different hymn systems. The tunes are different, and the performance traditions are different. This is the same hymn I heard the voice of Jesus say by Bonar, this time performed by an African-American congregation, the United Southern Prayer Band of Baltimore, Washington, and Virginia, and they are performing it in a South Carolina style.
I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest.
Second Vice President of the United Southern Prayer Band. He was born in South Carolina, and in most congregations, it's a sign of maturity for a deacon or a deaconess to raise a hymn. The elders are considered the masters. Deacon Reardon is considered within the Black Church a prodigy because he began to raise these hymns as a child. He migrated to Washington, D.C. during the 1930s, and moved into a family church and a family tradition that had also migrated to the city.
Well, you see, I had an uncle here, and my father had been here. And the church was Southern Baptist Church. And they sang, and their church activities was the same, or just about the same as it was down in South Carolina. Or hymns and spiritual songs like we sang down there. To be exact, the words had come from hundreds of years ago, from these old, my great-great-grandfathers and all back, all that had come from way back down the line. It's not a thing that just happened here 30 or 40 years ago. When I knew anything, I was big enough to know anything, and I say I've been in the world 80 years. When I knew anything here was going on, my uncle, he was a choir leader. And if Uncle Willie, I'm named after him, if he was been living there, he'd have been about 112 or 13 years old. And we didn't, there was no piano, organ around then. And long before him, his father, you know, back then, and my grandfather, when slavery broke, he was 11 years old when slavery broke, and he knew how to sing those hymns back there then.
African Americans learned and adapted this tradition of lining hymns during the period of slavery. And with this tradition, we have the blending of cultures, because the hymns themselves and the practice of lining the text can be traced back to England and Scotland, where it was introduced in churches there as a way of working with congregations with a high rate of illiteracy. Professor David Warren Steele.
The lining hymn started in the British Isles as a political and religious solution to the Puritan Reformation in the 17th century. It's not typical European religious music. The call and response that's part of it is built in complete from a completely functional point of view. There were the ministers meeting in Westminster said, and I'll quote, "For the present, where many in the congregation cannot read, it's convenient that the minister or some other person appointed do read the psalm line by line before the singing thereof." 1644.
We listen now to the recording of a Scottish congregation performing the Lion Hymn tradition in the Gaelic language. Alistair Graham and his congregation, the Free Church Stornoway Lewis, out of Hebrides, Scotland. Practice was brought to America by the colonists. But eventually the church leaders became uncomfortable with this tradition because they could not control how long the congregation would take to sing back to them the line after they had lined out the text. And there was another system created to replace this tradition. It's the shape note tradition. In this system, there was the creation of a musical score where the notes were shaped in different ways, a circle, triangle, square, and each shape defined a different pitch. Therefore, through singing classes throughout churches in New England, one could learn to read music. Then, in congregational worship services, there could be more control over meter and time. Shape note singing in New England became a way of correcting what was disturbing about the line hymn open-ended style.
Just about all educated musicians and poets and ministers tried to discourage this practice.
David Warren Steele.
They wanted to encourage what they called regular singing, which meant singing by rule, which meant singing the notes before them, singing the notes as written, and following the written rhythms as well. The ministers in the 18th century that were trying to stamp out lining out were trying to replace it with a harmonic and rhythmic singing that was part of the tradition that generated shape notes.
In 1977, the Library of Congress documented shape note singing in Georgia. And the song we've just heard, My Lord Will Welcome Me There, was recorded by a group of shape note singers in Osceola, Georgia, at the Neighborhood Center on Oak Street. Now, when shape note singing moved south, it moved both into white and black congregations. Both of these groups used the same system of beginning the song by singing the tune through the first time on the syllables, do, re, mi. But then they follow immediately afterwards with the text. Both groups are reading the notes on the page. However, with African Americans, the way in which they perform the style produces a different kind of a feel and sound. There's a different attitude toward motion and rhythm and energy. Black people just take more liberties with the structure of the song once it leaves the page. Listen to Inside the Pearly Gates, recorded August 21st, 1977, in Damascus, Georgia, at the Mount Zion Baptist Church.
My name is Henry Jaffus Jackson. I signed H.J. Jackson. I'm the president of the Alabama and Florida Sacred Heart Singing Convention. I've been president for 19 years. And we have the book we sang out of called The Colored Sacred Heart. And my father is the author of this book.
Normally, the conventions are held at a church.
Folklorist Beverly Robinson.
And let me just draw a setting for you in South Georgia. You're in South Georgia, and for me, it was in the summertime. You get to Damascus, and you're going out into what's really the rural area, leaving the urban setting, and there's just nothing but older roads, and pretty much dirt roads, lots of forestry. And then out of nowhere, there is a church, a wooden church, a white wooden church sitting in the middle of these trees. And you can hear people inside patting, literally patting their foot against that wood, you know, in a cadence that seems to be follow what they're singing. And the closer you get to the church, you realize that what you're hearing them saying are not necessarily words, but they seem to be sounds set to certain rhythmic patterns. And those sounds are basically fa, sol, la, based on the musical scale. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la. But fa, sol, la, because everything seems to generate from those three notes.
Congregations, the shape note practice was introduced to eliminate the older line hymn tradition. However, in the southern part of the country, African American and white congregations who fell in love with the shape note style of singing formed singing conventions to be with other groups who also practiced the style. Rather than replacing the line hymn practice, in black churches, shape note singing continued alongside the older repertoire. Singers like Deacon William Reardon and Reverend C.J. Johnson grew up in congregations that performed both the line hymn tradition and shape note singing.
Now the vowels in singing a hymn is much different from the four lines and spaces. The vowel gives you the act of holding the hymn, holding the word, cutting the word up. When you say Jesus, you say G and then say us. When you say save, you say, when you're going to say Savior, you say Savior. So in cutting this up and holding this and turning this loose and holding this and throwing this, you get a good hymn.
Reverend C.J. Johnson grew up in a family where his father sang and taught shape note singing, and his grandmother sang the old line hymns and spirituals of the Baptist Church.
So it's a fine thing to learn to sing hymns. Hymns are here to stay.
Amen.
I'm serious about that.
Amen.
Hymns are here to stay because it is God's will. Amen. That these hymns will be done.
Amen.
We're going to sing for you. The first hymn is one that when I was converted, I joined the church under this hymn. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as it was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad.
Sarah Farley Johnson was my father's mother. And after my mother passed, I was the age of 3, they brought me to Atlanta. Well, I got interested in this thing I'd heard the preacher talk about, so being converted. And I asked Grandma, I said, how do you get converted? She says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said, Grandma, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, believe what? She said, believe that Jesus came in the world, died, rose from the dead, and then went back up in heaven. I say, well, how do I get to know all of that and be a Christian? She said, just believe. I didn't know what believe meant. So finally she made me the little kindling boy. We had grates in the house. I cut the kindling every morning to make a fire for all in the house. I went out there, I was 7 years old then, cutting the kindling to make the fire. The moon was shining bright, and I heard something singing. That early, nobody would be singing. And the song just kept on, and that was the hymn I heard the voice of Jesus say. And I looked down the street, I looked around the house, and I didn't see anybody. So I came running in the house. I told Grandma, somebody's singing out there, and there's nobody out there. So she came out there, and she didn't hear. But I was still hearing. I heard the voice of Jesus say. And something went all over me and looked like I got light. Looked like I was just coming up off the ground. And then the song got louder and louder. And then I said to Grandma, I got it. I got it. I got it.
Within the United States of America, as with most human societies, culture is not static, and it does not obey partitions that separate peoples. With the line hymn and the shape note traditions that developed in this country, we have a way of seeing briefly how two very different cultures, European and Africans, came together and how their peoples took what they would and what they needed from one tradition and reshaped it so that it would be their very own. The African-American line hymn tradition and the African-American shape note tradition document the hybrid nature of American sacred worship practices. The African-American line hymn and shape note tradition. This program is part of the Wade in the Water series produced by National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. The senior producer is Judy Moore Latta. Associate producer Sonia Williams. The technical director is Renee Pringle with engineering assistance from John Widoff, Flon Williams, and Lauren Kelly. Production staff includes Beverly Oliver, Joseph Gill, Dakia Simmons, Keisha DeSandes, Suzanne Sheely, Michael Johnson, and Margaret Howes. Special thanks to the Smithsonian Institution Program in African American Culture and NPR member stations WKNO, WTSU, and WUNC. The executive producer is Sandra Ratley. I'm conceptual producer Bernice Johnson Regan.
Major funding for Wade in the Water, African American Sacred Music Traditions, was provided by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Additional support was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Catholic Communication Campaign, a parishioner-funded program that gets the good news around. This is NPR, National Public Radio.